Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Thursday. It's May 30th. We've got 43 degrees currently here in Old Town Park City, 46 degrees in the Heber Valley. On the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Thomas Giboy. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie, and happy Thursday to you, or happy Friday Eve, as we typically like to call it. It should be a pretty nice day across the Wasatch back. We're going to be looking at mostly sunny skies thanks to the cold front that passed through yesterday, so high pressures in the process of building in. But with a northwesterly flow, temperatures will be trending a little bit cooler compared to what we've seen in recent days. So instead of a daytime high in the 70s, we'll see a daytime high in the 60s, at least in Park City. While I think Heber will have a pretty good chance of at least hitting 70 degrees this afternoon, we'll come in at 63 degrees, which is roughly 5 degrees below our seasonal average of around 67, 68 degrees in Park City for today. But if you enjoy daytime highs in the 60s throughout the Wasatch back, I'm going to encourage you to get outside and enjoy today, because once we move past today, we're likely going to be looking at some warmer weather. But again, for today, we get mostly sunny skies, relatively cool temperatures for this time of year. And then by tonight, it's partly cloudy skies with the overnight low dropping to 42. For our Friday, we'll be checking in with mostly sunny skies once again, daytime high topping out at 70 degrees. Then the overnight lows will continue to slowly creep up along with our daytime highs as we close out the work week and move into the weekend. On Saturday, we should be pretty close to what we had on Tuesday, with a daytime high coming in at 76 degrees. But between Saturday night and Sunday morning, another weak front will move through. It won't cool us down compared to what we're seeing out there today, but we'll go from the mid-70s on Saturday to the low 70s on Sunday, still keeping mostly sunny skies in the forecast. But between late Saturday into early Sunday, there will be at least a slight chance that we could see an isolated shower or thunderstorm or two. But that chance looks maybe 10 to 20% at most. We do it all over again on Monday with the southerly flow warming us up back up into the mid and upper 70s on our Monday. A daytime high coming in at 78 degrees, so a big change of pace compared to what we just see out there today. Then another weak front moves in between Monday night and Tuesday, bringing again another slight chance for a shower, with the temperature drops slightly on Tuesday, but we still stay in well into the 70s with a daytime high of 74. And then by the end of next week, forecast models are pretty optimistic that we'll see a pretty strong ridge of high pressure set up shop across the western United States. We could be getting close to 80 degrees on Wednesday. And at this point, while it's not a guarantee since we're still roughly a week away, there is at least a chance that we could see daytime highs maybe in the 80s, even in Park City, by the end of next week. So today, kind of one of those less cool days that we'll see as we get ready to move into the month of June. And then through the first half of next week, we're mainly going to see highs in the 70s with an outside chance that we could see 80s returning to the forecast by the end of next week, Leslie.
Okay, well, yesterday I received the text I never like to receive. Well, this is my final broadcast with you, your final day at Channel 4 tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, so tomorrow will be my last day, but I wanted to make sure that I gave you guys a heads up. It's been an absolute pleasure being able to do this. I mean, I've been such a big fan, and the fact that we've been able to talk every day and be able to give the forecast in Park City has been really cool, and it's definitely something that I'm going to be missing. But yeah, tomorrow will be my last day. It'll be my last forecast that I gave on KPCW as I will be moving on from here at ABC4, going to be going back home.
Yeah, so where's back home?
So back home is on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, still working on what's coming up next, but I'm hopeful that I'll be able to have an announcement here relatively soon. But I'm heading back home, so me and my wife and my daughter will be packing up things from Utah. We're going to miss Utah, but there is no place like home, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, so that's hurricane and tornado country, huh?
No doubt. Yeah, so it'll be a little bit different, but the thing that is down there is winter doesn't really exist. I'll be trading out the Utah winters for the endless spring and summers for the most part. And yeah, there will be tornadoes and hurricanes to contend with, but having grown up in that area, it's not anything that I'm unfamiliar with.
Okay, well, yeah, now you lose your moniker of Ski Boy.
Well, as I mentioned in the text message, maybe you'll hear me call back in the wintertime so I can live vicariously through you guys and maybe give you an update on the forecast, because I'll still try to keep tabs on what's happening. And of course, the hope is that we'll be able to come back, because I enjoy my skiing and my snowboarding, and we can bring the family out here. So I hope to come back here sooner rather than later, just to kind of keep tabs on Utah. But Leslie, wanted to say personally thank you as well. It's been an absolute pleasure being able to work with you as well.
Well, and of course we want to thank you, because you have called in, you're on time, and you know you've got a great forecast, so we appreciate that. For now then, Nate Larson is going to be filling in, or is that he's kind of been promoted to this, or
I believe that's the plan in the immediate future. I'm not sure what the ultimate plan is with my replacement, but starting next week, you'll hear Nate on the radio.
Okay. Well, best of luck, Thomas. Thanks again.
Thanks, Leslie. I appreciate it. And take care.
You too. That's Thomas Guiboy. Again, his final day there at ABC4 is tomorrow. And on the phone with us now with a report from Mountain Trails, with our Trails Report, we have Laura Anthony. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Leslie. We've got quite the Trails Report. It looks like things are starting to clear up on the mountain. So let me just start with Basin Rec. They're reporting that all of the North Basin is completely good. So that would be up in the Bob's Basin, Glen Wild area. They've cleared Princess Di, Moose Puddle, Ambush, Rosebud's Heaven, and Hunter's Trail this week. All the deadfall is gone from those trails, so they're good to go. Here's what they're saying. Hunters is some type 2 fun with big snow crossings. All of the lower canyons is good with some snow crossing. Summit Park is good with some occasional snow crossing, and it's drying out quickly. We will be, looks like, doing National Trail Sale. I'll give you a report on that in just a second. Great riding in the Heber Valley. Mia from Osage Trails Foundation is reporting that everything is good to go aside from some significant snow higher up on the Wow Trail. Wiley Canyon is beautiful with water running down Little Pole Canyon for stunning views. Suffren Succotash has hero dirt. Looks like we've got Rick from Mountain Trails is reporting just about everything on below Mid-Mountain is good to go as has been cleared of blowdowns. Our crews have been out there and super busy getting all those blown down trees from the winter out of the way. So it looks like Upper Jenny's still have some good sized patches of snow. Mother Urban is good to go. Mid-Mountain itself is holding snow, significant areas of snow. Many of this on the ski runs is kind of typical where it gets packed down by the groomers all winter. It stays later into the summer. Especially on the north-facing aspects and in the Deer Valley montage zones, kind of shady over there. So, again, it's going to be slower to melt out. Now, for National Trails Day is Saturday. We will be meeting the Mountain Trails. There's three things going on here. So, first, Mountain Trails will be meeting at the Highland Trailhead at 8 a.m. We'll have coffee and bagels, go out and work on the Big Easy and do some drainage work. So bring gloves, closed-toed shoes, sun gear, hats, sunscreen, the whole works. We'll be out there for a couple hours. We'll be doing a pizza party at the Highland Trailhead around 12:30. It's going to be kind of fluctuating. We're not sure exactly what moment we'll have pizza, but when the job is looking like it's getting done, we'll move on back to the trailhead and do a pizza party. Basin Rec is meeting at East Canyon Creek at 8 a.m. and hiking into Bob's Basin. They are reporting that their volunteer occupancy has hit its maximum, but if you come with Loppers or McLeod, they'll be able to fit you in. And let's see, gotta scroll back up here to the dig day for Wasatch Trails Foundation. Sorry, I'm not finding it. Oh, it's at the Dutch Hollow. Sorry. They've got a dig day and free barbecue hosted by Evo and IH, not sure what that is, but they will be meeting at Dutch Hollow, and they're hoping folks will come help them with some trail maintenance out there. So, boy, that's it. We have a busy weekend, and we hope to see you out there.
Okay. Hey, Laura, thanks. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Stay tuned. Coming up on the local news hour this morning, I'll be checking in with the executive director of Park City Sunday Market, Kate McChesney. The market opens Sunday. Renee Moxhall with Park City Troublemakers will have details about their final concert of the season. And Park City Summit County Arts Council Executive Director Jocelyn Scudder will be joined by Dr. Trevor Cates talking about this month's gallery stroll. That's happening tomorrow night, again, the last Friday of the month, featuring one of the painters, Gwen Cates, at Trove Gallery. Then stay tuned for Cool Science Radio. Right after the local news hour, today's guests include local ophthalmologist Dr. Barbara Worotsko. She's a leading expert in glaucoma. She also co-founded and is the medical director of a local company, My Eyes. Then author and dog intelligence researcher Jennifer Holland talks about her new book, Dog Smart, Life-Changing Lessons in Canine Intelligence. It's a cutting-edge science narrative that outlines her quest to learn the true meaning of dog intelligence. All of that coming up on Cool Science Radio, heard every Thursday from 9 to 10. Well, coming up Sunday, the Park City Sunday Market opens for the season. On the phone with details, I have the executive director of the market, Kate McChesney. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So you've been doing this how many years now?
This is our 18th season.
Okay. and this is working on a new contract with the city. So this contract extends for how many years?
So it's a 4+3. So ultimately, we will be on Main Street until 2030.
Okay.
The longest contract we've had since day one.
Great.
Yeah, we're very excited.
And looking at the website, it looks like you also have a new logo, or did I miss that last year?
No, you totally nailed it. You've discovered a bunch of things. So yes, we have a new website. So we were able to contract with Michelle here, who's local in town with Cosmic Design, and she built our new website along with providing us a new logo. I think today on Main Street we'll have some new street banners hung, which will finally have the dates on them. So we've got a lot of things happening this year that was encouraged by us having a long-term contract.
All right. And the contract calls down for this year and going forward 11 markets for the season?
Correct. So this year we'll have all of June, and then we'll have two in July. We go on a nice long break, and then we'll kick back off Labor Day weekend, and we'll have four in September. So it's a little scattered around, but we're trying to make everybody aware of when we will and won't be on the street.
Okay. And that's a high of how many markets that you had at one point?
So way back when, 18 years ago, we had 17. And then probably about 11 years ago, we went down to 14. And now here we are. We're going to stay strong at 11.
All right. And that's kind of interesting that you take off all of August. And it used to be just because, of course, we've got Arts Festival that first weekend. And then we used to have the bike race. But you guys are really busy. Your staff does the work for the 4th of July parade and Miner's Day, don't you?
We do, correct. We do the 4th of July parade, Miner's Day. We also help program the Summit County Fair. We also help program Forum Fest. We help KPCW with a few of their events, and we do some activities down in Salt Lake, South Salt Lake, actually, too. So, yeah, this whole started as Park Silly being our baby, and then from there we've been, you know, encouraged and hired to help out some other organizations with their fairs and festivals.
Okay, so you don't really get a break.
No.
Right.
When I even see a peek of a window for Michelle and I and our silly team, somebody will come in and say, looks like you have a day off. We'd love your help. And we're always there to try to help.
Sure. How many staff members do you have?
So we have three of us full time, including Kimberly Kuhn, who is our founder. And she still hangs on behind the scenes, helps with sponsors, does a lot of, you know, most of the time she's doing all the interviews, but she's still with us. So we have Michelle McDonald, who her and I, we're going into our 14th summer. So this will be her and I 14. And then beyond that, everybody is a temporary part-time employee. We have about 30 of them over the summer that'll help us every summer silly day, along with some other events that we do.
Great. All right. And then the hours of the market, what are those?
10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So doors open, quote unquote, but there's no real doors on Main. Rain or shine.
Okay. And no more late hours on the last market of the season?
So I believe we will end up going 10 to 6 on the last market of the season. I messed up something with my DABC on that last day, and I forgot to extend the hour on that particular piece of paper. So before I go announcing it, I just want to make sure I get the approval with the state, and then I'll re-announce that our last day, we typically do that one extra hour for locals and our own vendors who want to come down and enjoy a beer with us.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the market, since day one, has prided itself on being a zero-waste market. You guys still able to do that?
We are, and it's definitely one of our greenest line items, and so it costs us, well, you know, and thankfully we have Epic Promise, and we have Chamber that helps us with our sustainability. So, but we do. We typically have anywhere between a 75 to an 85% diversion rate, which means that we send very little trash to the landfill, and we are out there just recycling and bringing everything to all the appropriate places, including we still feed the pigs.
Okay. You feed the pigs with what?
We feed the pigs with our composting. So any leftover food, we have some bins down at Lower Main, which will be over by our food, and we scrape the plates, and we go up and we feed the pigs.
All right. So anything different, new this year? I mean, other than the logo and the website?
So it's really just, you know, the changes. We're going to have the street banners, and then as well, we're the tiki bar. We've got 4 frozen machines this year. We've got some new hype to our Bloody Mary bar. Great lineup of musicians from Mountain Town Music that's helping us. And this year, this particular coming Sunday, we're going to have the Eric Heidemann Band. He hasn't been with us for years, so we're looking forward to seeing him again, followed by Saucy. Tons of youth vendors, tons of youth musicians. But really, the layout will stay the same, but we do have quite a few new vendors that we're looking forward to meeting.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about those new vendors?
It's you're putting me on the spot, and I was trying to prepare myself early this morning. But I know that a lot of our long-term vendors, we've kind of phased out because we really do want to encourage new vendors this year. So you really will see a lot of new potters and photographers. You'll see a lot of new jewelry making. We've really done a lot of turnover to kind of give it a fresh new piece this coming summer.
All right. And do you list then all of the artists and musicians online prior to the market?
Not necessarily artists, because we do rotate them, and so it's a really hard way for us to continually keep promoting them. So we do encourage you to come to the market. But as far as the musicians and the lineup, we do send out a weekly email that comes out on Wednesdays. You can sign up for on our website. Otherwise, it's on our Facebook or Instagram, or you can always go to Mountain Town Music, and they can check our lineup there.
All right. And that used to be really important to Park City Municipal about this mix of vendors. And how does that work?
So we're very limited, which was actually, it's part of our contract, but it's also what we were wanting to do. We're very limited with the number of jewelers we have, and we really look at each, you know, we're now starting to judge and jury each vendor because there's so many of each type. So we have tons of photographers, tons of potters, tons of jewelers. We got a lot of gourmet food. So we just want to keep it an array so we can rotate through. So a jeweler who might request 11 days, she has something very similar to somebody with a different product. We'll give her 5 or 6 days, and we'll give another jeweler similar of hers the other 5 or 6 days. So we're really trying to rotate through. But we do have limits on certain artists to keep it fresh and new and not necessarily competing with what's happening on Main Street.
Okay. Well, it sounds like quite the juggling act there.
It is Tetris times 1,000.
Yeah. All right. You have in years past also provided space for nonprofit organizations. Is that still happening?
Correct. We have 3 to 4 spaces every Sunday for nonprofit organizations. They can go to our website, hit apply, and there's a special line for nonprofits. And so we offer them a free booth space. We also offer a free booth space to Main Street Merchants, Park City Performing Artists Association, Featured Artist, which is an artist who would come and perform their medium. So if they're a painter, they would be painting live. So we do offer a lot of free booth spaces, which is great. And so that kind of gives us opportunity to give back as part of our nonprofit mission. So this weekend, and we also have Nuzzles that will be coming every single Sunday for their snuggle hour. That'll be 10 to 12 every morning before the main stage to hope to get some adoptions.
All right. I know you do allow dogs at the market, but you ask people to be aware of temperatures?
Right. Allowed but discouraged. Mm-hmm. So it gets too hot. There's so many people. Although we love people coming with their pets, we do just want you to be very aware that it's a lot for a pet to be on Main Street during Park Silly. Mm-hmm. But we do allow them because it's not anything that we could truly enforce. But there are some very hot days where the pavement gets very hot and it'll burn your little pup's paws.
All right. And, you know, over your last 14 years, I mean, what have you seen? I mean, what are some of the most popular parts of the market?
I think it's the business incubation. I don't think people realize that so many businesses within Park City started at the market. They had these grandeur business ideas, and they brought them to the market, and now they are brick and mortar. So Sammy's Bistro, Nosh, Sandwich, 11 House, you know, Soul Poles back in the day, and Cade & Co., all these businesses, even along Main Street, started at the market. We gave them the venue and the forum, and we helped them build their business plan, did the marketing, brought them the people, so that then they could turn their idea into something real and they live their passion. So that's the piece for us that has turned from when we started 18 years ago to really understanding that this is a stepping stone for so many people, and they get out of their day jobs if they can.
All right. Well, you guys all still having as much fun as you have over the last nearly two decades?
We wouldn't do it if we didn't. So it's definitely still super fun for us, and we really do enjoy it. There's no place on a Sunday I'd rather be, well, unless, of course, I was camping or at the lake or in the mountains. But on a silly Sunday, we're very happy to be on Main Street and look forward to seeing all of our friends and family and just really celebrating summers in Park City.
Okay. Again, you guys are kicking it off again for the 18th season, 10 a.m. on Lower Main Street. Anything else, Kate?
Lower Main Street.
Want to mention?
Do not drive to the market. Please park at the high school, use the bus at Richardson Flats, bike. We have a free bike valet. Take transit. Do anything but drive into Old Town. And we encourage you to see you this Sunday at 10.
Okay. Kate McChesney, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie. Have a great day.
Well, nearly 120 acres of land are poised to be reserved as open space in Midway. KPCW's Grace Dorfler has more on that.
The Lundeen family has farmed in Midway for four generations. The 119-acre property near Wasatch Mountain State Park is visible from all over the Heber Valley. Now, the family can rest assured its land will be protected for future generations through a partnership with Utah Open Lands, which is working to finalize a conservation easement. Nora Lundeen, who lives in Heber, says she's grateful her family can keep the land as a legacy to her ancestors.
My family has been at that farm in Midway since 1892, and we're the fourth generation to work that land. When my parents passed away, it just really broke my heart to think that we were going to have to someday sell it.
After meeting the executive director of Utah Open Lands, Wendy Fisher, in 2019, Nora Lundeen and her brothers Mike and Randy started the process of securing an easement. Fisher says the land is a valuable part of the Heber Valley.
When the siblings came to Utah Open Lands and talked to us about whether we could help them preserve it, we were all in.
There were some bumps along the road. One of the Lundeen brothers would have preferred to sell the land, and the siblings were in a legal battle for a few years. Now they've reached a settlement, so the easement can move forward. The land would be worth around $12 million if it were sold for development. Wasatch County pledged $2 million in 2022, and Midway committed $1 million for the land last summer. Fisher says with the settlement, Utah Open Lands may apply to other funding sources for the farm as well.
If the settlement can move forward and we can get the documentation in place, there is the possibility that Utah Open Lands could apply for NRCS funding and then hopefully help to match some of the county and city money.
That's the Natural Resources Conservation Service, a potential source of federal funding for the easement. Lundeen says she cares about preserving land for future generations to enjoy.
I think we have to start really being protective of what we have left. It's just so important because it's not going to go back. Once they build houses on it, that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be farmland anymore. It's not going to be an open field.
Fisher says she hopes the easement is finalized by this fall. She says the addition of this open space in Wasatch County is worth celebrating.
All of these conservation easements take time, and the landowners who participate in it do so because they love their land. And likewise, the community in passing these open space bonds demonstrate their appreciation for landowners who are willing to contribute to such a tremendous legacy for the Heber Valley.
In March, the Wasatch County Council dedicated $3 million to conserve 200 acres of the North Fields. When the Lundeen Farm easement is completed, Wasatch County will have around 350 acres of protected open space. Utah Open Lands is also working to secure funding for another 200 acres. Grace Dorfler, KPCW News.
Well, the Park City Troublemakers has a final performance for the season in the studio with details. I have one of the singers, Renee Moxhall. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when and where is the final performance?
It will be this Sunday, 4 o'clock, and it will be at Park City Community Church. Okay. And just to clarify, that is the church that is behind the Park City Nursery.
Okay. And there are tickets for sale.
Yes, because we are the proceeds from this concert will be donated to the People's Health Clinic. And we feel that they're a very important nonprofit to our community because they provide they don't charge for the health care that they provide to uninsured residents here in Wasatch and Summit counties.
So this is what you usually do, though. I mean, in past shows have donated the proceeds, so you just pick different nonprofits?
Yes, that's correct. And actually, we have in the past donated to the Summit County Children's Justice Center, the Christian Center of Park City, the Christian Center Food Bank, Peace House, Swanner Nature Preserve. We have in the past given to People's Health Clinic, and the Women's Giving Fund, which is part of the Park City Community Foundation.
Okay. And how much do you usually raise for
them? I understand that our last collection was well over $1,000 that went to the Christian Center Food Bank. And then there were additional food donations as well from the spring concert 1 year ago.
Okay. So when you talk about the season, I guess, what does that reference? The spring season or?
Yes. The spring. It's more or less based on a collection of our repertoire. So whatever we were developing as far as a musical repertoire, that's what we take on the road, you might say. So just yesterday, we were in Heber at Spring Hills Senior Living. And on Monday, particularly, we all enjoy very much participating in the memorial services that are presented by the American Legion at the Park City Cemetery. It's a beautiful ceremony, and we're always privileged to go there and sing for that particular event. At Christmas time, we do a lot of presentations because so many people have holiday parties and other things going on, so we're all about town during the holiday season with, I believe we had 12 performances during about a two-week period in December, which it makes for a very busy schedule, but it's a lot of fun. This spring, we had, looks like about five leading up to our concert, which will be the number six.
Okay. Now, how many concerts a year do you do? I mean, again, you do short ones like at the Senior Living and at Memorial Day, I mean, including all of those.
Oh, including all of those. Gosh, I haven't added up the numbers, but the actual full-on concerts, I know, totals three, because we do a salon concert and a community concert at Christmas, and then our spring concert. So the full concert's number three. But if I added all these up together, oh, I don't know, about 25-ish, 22 or so, maybe.
Which is pretty impressive, given that you're all volunteers, and none of you, including the music director, are paid, huh?
And she's wonderful. Colleen Earnshaw really deserves a lot of credit. She takes such good care of us and does such a wonderful job selecting the music, for one thing. I'm always very impressed with the music that she compiles. Some of it is not necessarily arranged for a cappella. And I think it's a real challenge to find music that can be performed a cappella successfully, but she finds a way, and I think that we put on a very nice presentation with that music. Some of it is entirely intended to be performed a cappella, but Colleen finds a wide variety of music that we're able to perform without the need for musical instruments, which makes us very versatile. And I think that's perhaps why we have quite a few performances, because we can stand in the cemetery and sing. There's no piano nearby, but we perform nicely without the need for instrumentation.
Yeah, I think, what does she have? Just something that gives you the tone, just so you know
yes,
where you're starting off on?
A cell phone.
Now, it's an all-women group?
That's correct, yes. We are 16 voices. So basically we're divided into four groups, first and second soprano, first and second altos. Sometimes we split within that as well. We have some arrangements that require about an eight divisions to cover all the notes that are needed.
All right, so what kind of time commitment does it mean on, you know, your behalf, you know, each of the individual singers?
Yes. Well, we have weekly rehearsals on Mondays, and that's about an hour and a half. But then we're expected to memorize all this music. So whatever is required of that, it's requires quite a bit of personal time as well. And that, then, of course, you would also have to add in the performances that we do as too. So yes, it is quite a time commitment, and especially learning the music and committing it to memory.
Yeah. And how difficult is that? I mean, you couldn't put the music on your cell phone then, huh?
The music is on the cell phone, and that's certainly how I memorize so much of it. But as far as how difficult it is, well, certain songs really require quite a bit of dedication to learning the words alone. Like, for instance, we're doing the prayer for this particular season, and that's all in Italian. And I don't believe a single one of us speaks Italian, but we also have one in Latin. Latin I don't find so difficult as the Italian. So very often we have music in foreign languages. So it's, yes, it does require quite a challenge to, and it, of course you have to get the notes right too. So it's not merely memorizing lyrics, but memorizing the notes as well.
Right. So how do you choose your music? And I mean, you don't have to choose Italian songs.
No, but Colleen likes to keep a challenge for us too. So I know some of the songs that she chooses definitely pertain to where we anticipate we will be performing some of those songs. So like, for instance, we always have a Star Spangled Banner because we know that at for Memorial Day, we are going to sing at the cemetery. So we always have a Star Spangled Banner among our spring repertoire. So that one's kind of a standard, although we have different variations of that song. But then the rest of it, especially for spring, really represents quite a variety. For our summer, for our concert that we will be doing on Sunday, the first half is a little more what I would describe as traditional or serious. And then the second half is just kind of a fun romp. And there's some costuming, some surprise songs. We wrote some lyrics for a particular Beatles song that made it more applicable for today's times, I guess you'd say. And they focus on Park City locally. So we have a lot of Park City lyrics within what we're titled When I'm 84.
Okay.
You can guess which Beatles song that's based on.
All right. How do people get tickets?
They can purchase at the door, and those tickets will be $12 for adults, $5 for children. If you want to save $2 per adult ticket, you can also make your purchase on Venmo and our Venmo number is Venmo at trouble-maker-1, or you could just visit our website, which is parkcitytroublemakers.org, and that Venmo address is there, as well as a few more details about the concert as well.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I believe that is it.
Okay, Renee. Thanks so much for coming
in. All right. Thank you, Leslie.
It's Renee Moxhall again with the Park City Troublemakers. They're going to have their final spring performance again this Sunday, 4 p.m. at Park City Community Church. Good morning. Well, North and South Summit residents can attend some open houses next month to influence changes to the document that will guide future growth and development for years to come. KPCW's Connor Thomas reports on that general plan update.
The Eastern Summit County General Plan is an advisory document that planning commissioners, county council members, and county staff reference when they create development code for the future. Eastside residents have the opportunity to help officials craft that general plan at two open houses in June. As Community Development Director Pat Putt explains, the county updates its two general plans every decade or so. This year's update was the first one preceded by a county-wide visioning process.
We're in the process of advancing the general plans on both the basin side and the east side. Think of this as, you know, on the heels of almost an 18-month long visioning process. We're going to add more detail to that visioning process.
There have been two advisory committees created to draft general plan changes for Eastern and Western Summit County. For those who weren't selected or couldn't attend committee meetings, upcoming open houses are the best way to give input. The Snyderville Basin General Plan open houses aren't on the calendar yet, but the Eastern Summit County open houses are June 4th and 18th at the Ledges Event Center and the Camas Library, respectively. Both are from 6 to 8 p.m. The county says information presented at the two open houses will be identical and residents can drop by at any time during the two-hour window. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
Coming up tomorrow, the last Friday of the month, it's the Park City Gallery Stroll. In the studio with a preview, I have Jocelyn Scudder. She's the Executive Director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council. She's joined by Dr. Trevor Cates and also one of the artists that will be featured at Trove Gallery, Gwen Cates. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks Good for having morning. Us.
Jocelyn, let's start with you and just give us the details about the stroll. It happens when and where?
Yes. So this is a monthly event that happens in Park City. It's free for everyone to join, and it's every last Friday of the month, 6 to 9 p.m. And it's the event is hosted by the Gallery Association, and there are 13 members in the Gallery Association. As you know, in Park City, we have a really unique concentration of galleries here. It makes our arts and culture scene here really unique. And each gallery really does something different and unique, especially on these last Friday gallery strolls. Specifically, we're going to talk in a minute about what's happening at Trove Gallery, but Gallery Mar is having a special exhibit. It's actually a solo showcase of Catherine Heigl, who's an interdisciplinary artist, so that's really exciting. Crate PC is off the beaten path of 1500 Kearns, and that's the Arts Council's local artist collective. They do open studios, so you can kind of glimpse on some of the artists who are working on art in progress. So if you go to Gallery Association, it's actually parkcitygalleryassociation.com. You can check out all the galleries that participate. It's a great free event for the community.
I think the majority of the galleries are on Main Street with, again, we've got the Create PC there on Kearns Boulevard and then the Jago Gallery in Prospector.
Or? Exactly. And actually, William Cranstover's gallery, Bill Cranstover's gallery in Peoa. Bill is in the association. So, again, off the beaten path, it's great to get out in Peoa and check out his artwork there.
Okay, yeah. I talk about going out there. I'm like, Bill, I miss you all the time, so I know he'll be there.
It's a great
Friday
time of year
night.
To do it.
Good. Okay. We're going to get back to some of those other specific things, but let's welcome Dr. Trevor Cates along with your mom, Gwen. So you're what? You're representing her? Is that how it works, Trevor?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story that led us here. My husband and I got married in Monument Valley, and when we were back at my house, our friend, our Navajo friend that married us, was at our house, and he said, "Why don't you have any paintings of Monument Valley where you got married?" And I said, "Well, these are my mom's paintings." And he said, "Well, send her some photos and have her do some Monument Valley paintings." And so we commissioned my mom to do a painting for us, and we hung it up in our living room, and everybody was amazed by it. And so we decided, oh, let's put together a whole show around it. So we talked to Jen at Trove Gallery, and what we wanted to do was help raise money for a Hogan project. But in the meantime, our friend passed away unexpectedly, our friend Larry Holiday. And he went in for surgery, unexpected complications, and didn't make it out. And so what we're doing now is we're giving money back to the family so to help cover some of their expenses, medical expenses, and he left behind some children, so just to help support them. So his wife and two of their children are coming to the show, and my mom flew in, my sisters, so we're all here to support support this, and her artwork is so incredible. And my mom is 83 years old. She could tell you a bit about it.
Well, yeah, we'll get you close to that microphone there, Gwen. So tell me a little about it. I mean, you've been an artist all your life then.
Yes, I have been an artist all my life. I was basically discovered by my first grade teacher. And then later, I went on to study art in college and have lived a lot of different places that I was excited by the images from that Trevor sent me from Monument Valley. It's such an amazing place, and the colors are astonishing, and the shapes are just thrilling to work with.
All right, so is this traditional of your work, landscapes then?
I do, when I do landscapes, I use oil paint. I used to do plein air, but now I will go down, we live on the Ravanna River, and I do a lot of paintings of the Ravanna River in all seasons of the year. And now I go down, usually on horseback, to take a picture or take a series of photos and then work from that. I never work from one photograph. I work from series of photographs so that I feel like I'm walking through the scene as I paint.
Where's the Ravanna River?
In near Charlottesville, Virginia, where my farm is.
Oh, okay.
And where my art studio is.
So have you been to Monument Valley, or you've just seen it through photos?
I've only seen it through photos.
Oh, because the work that you do, it's stunning, right? It's like you've been sitting right there. plein air, is that done also with oils, or is that traditionally watercolors?
People do that. I don't do plein air now. It's too much for me to haul everything out and paint on site. I go down and generally paint from my own photographs. I'll set up a series of like six photographs and just pretend that I'm walking through the scene.
All right. And so your Monument Valley is kind of a series that you have, and that's what you'll be displaying then at Trove.
Yes,
tomorrow
it
night.
Is. Yeah.
Is it just a one night only, or will the work remain there for?
It's one night only. It's a pop-up show.
Okay.
And then my paintings will be available online at GwenCatesGallery.com.
Okay. All right. Well, again, beautiful work and opportunity to see it again tomorrow night. Jocelyn, you also mentioned, Trove Gallery, located, Lower Main Street? Just so we know people where to send.
Yes, Trove Gallery is right at the bottom of Main Street, a great place to start your stroll. And I can't reiterate enough, I know many of our community members are really connected to the desert. So many of us head down to the desert this time of year, and these paintings that are going to be displayed at Trove really capture the essence of that red rock. And when I look at them, I really am inspired by them, and I think a lot of our community members will connect with these paintings. So highly encourage you to come see, especially since it's a pop-up exhibit for one night only.
Okay. Wanted to just come back to the Gallery Mall, again, hosting the work. We know her as an actress, Katherine Heigl. Tell us what we're going to see there. What does she do?
So from what I know from Gallery Mar's website, Katherine Heigl has put together a series of artworks titled Mother Nature. And so I think this is a really exciting opportunity to see this solo showcase. Again, like you said, many of us know her as an actress, but she does live in Summit County and is very involved in the community. And it sounds like she's made a really great partnership with Gallery Mar. And so a great experience to just see an artist in action in a new way outside of the film industry.
Okay, and then what are people gonna see if they venture over to Create PC on Kearns Boulevard?
Create PC right now hosts artwork and artisanal goods of over 40 Summit County makers and artists. Most recently, the artists have swapped out some work for a spring show, and actually this work will only be up through June 13th. The gallery is actually going to undergo some upgrades, so we're gonna close down for 2 weeks in June right at the Latino Arts Festival so that our staff has a little bit of breathing room, and then we're gonna going to reopen with a summer show at the end of June. So I think this is a great time to, and really a last look, to be able to see some of these artists that are going to be displayed at Crepe PC. We have photographs, oil paintings, jewelry, ceramics, even some of the artisanal goods. We have prints and lower cost items. So there's a great range of price ranges as well for people who are interested in collecting.
Okay. And then this is work by people who kind of participate as part of the organization at Crepe PC, but not all of them do their artwork there. Is that right?
Yes. So the Crepe PC Local Artist Collective is a new program. It has two floors. The first floor is a gallery and retail space, or creative marketplace, we call it. And it houses, and we sell artwork on consignment for Summit County artists. And there's about 40 housed in that space. And then the second floor, there is a studio space. Now, this is a space for artists to get dirty. We have 10 local artists upstairs in space F110, if you're interested. It is normally close to the public, but during Friday gallery strolls, people can go up and we open up the gallery. And so we have artists in there working. And I think it's a great way to, you know, when you see artists in action, it's a great way to connect with them, see their process. I personally love looking at a dirty studio and seeing all of the sketches and the paint everywhere. It's so wonderful. And so that's upstairs, and a unique opportunity to see the studios on the last Friday gallery stroll from 6 to 9 p.m.
All right. And you've also set up a new Crepe PC exhibit at the Park City Visitor Center out there at Kimball Junction?
We have. So as many people might know, the Chamber has just went through a rebrand, which is fantastic, and they've made some upgrades to the Visitor Center out in Kimball Junction. They've repainted the space, added some new furniture. It looks excellent. And we're super fortunate we've been able to create a partnership with the Chamber where we will host rotating exhibits in kind of the front foyer area of that Visitor Center. And so what this is a glimpse of the artists at Crepe PC. We have about 9 to 10 artworks off the top of my head that are hung up in that Visitor Center, and there are QR codes displayed, so if people are interested in purchasing, you can connect us directly and we'll connect you with that artist. And so it's really just meant to be this snapshot of what's available at Crepe PC and to see the range of artistic talent that exists in Summit County. So we're grateful for the partnership with the Chamber, and I think it's great exposure for our local artists.
All right. And again, they just rotate them? I mean,
we're going to do quarterly exhibits, yep. Mm. So we just reinstalled this exhibit. This will be up through the summer. We'll do a new one in fall, winter, and spring.
All right, and an opportunity just to look or purchase?
Both. It's mainly to look, but we do have, again, labels and QR codes with prices. So if people are interested in purchasing, again, our goal through this program is to benefit local artists. We want them to make money. We want them to thrive and sell their work. So if you're interested in, if you see something there that you love, you can scan the QR code, connect with us, and you may have the piece.
Great. All right, you did mention earlier about the Latino Arts Festival. Just save the date.
Save the date. Coming up quick, June 14th, 15th, and 16th at Canyons Village at Park City Mountain Resort. This is a free community event that happens up at the resort. It's an annual event that we've been participating in since 2016. We took over fully last year, and also we're at the Canyons for the first time last year. It's an excellent event. We do performances, visual artists. We have an incredible showcase of food. It's a really wonderful way to celebrate our local Latino community and to connect with those cultural traditions. So please save the date, June 14th through the 16th at Canyons Village.
I know we've got somebody coming in to talk a little bit more about
yes.
that.
So our festival manager, Andrea Zavala, who has worked tirelessly over the last 6 months to get this going, will be on with you closer to the festival to talk about details.
Okay. And then also we wanted to mention real quickly about some of our performing arts happening this weekend.
Yeah, you know, we look at this opportunity with you, Leslie, as an arts update fully. So we wanted to make sure people knew the Egyptian Theater actually has a really great show this weekend, May 30th through June 1st. David Archuleta is playing there this weekend. Visit parkcityshows.com to check out tickets.
Okay. Anything else? Got it all? All right. Gwen and Trevor Cates, thanks so much. And Jocelyn, we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Well, a climate change activist who worked in former President Barack Obama's administration will speak about the importance of community action and hope in Park City next Tuesday. KPCW's Parker Malatesta has more.
The Park City Community Foundation has invited former White House climate advisor Molly Kawahata to speak at the Park City Library about actionable strategies for addressing climate change. An avid ice climber, Kawahata's personal and professional life was the subject of a recent documentary called The Scale of Hope, which was produced by Patagonia. She believes fostering hope rather than fear is crucial to making the systemic change required to solve the climate crisis.
If you want to build a movement long-term, get people involved, fear, guilt, and shame is actually not a good strategy, and that's what the environmental movement has been using. Hope is not just this idea that feels good or this fluffy concept. Hope is something that's incredibly effective. So what I'll be talking about is how to apply the science of hope, all of this research-backed, all of these research-backed strategies, to the climate movement in order to make it more accessible, more welcoming, more just, and ultimately more effective.
Kawahata will speak at the Park City Library Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $10 and can be found at kpcw.org. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.